It's no secret that property management is not an easy task for the government, which has to manage a massive portfolio of thousands of buildings. Part of the problem is that it's hard to get a clear picture of what the government actually owns because of agencies' inconsistent approaches to counting facilities and different definitions for real property. David Wise is the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO, and he joins us now to talk more about data reliability in federal real estate. Hi, David. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jared. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our work. Thanks for inviting me onto the program.
You bet. And one of the reasons we wanted to invite you is sort of a follow-up to our story Emily Kopp, our colleague, wrote last week that kind of highlighted not so much that the information in these federal databases is inaccurate per se, which is maybe a separate problem, but the way agencies count what they have can be really inconsistent from one to the next. I mean, GAO has obviously done a lot of work in the broad area of real property. In your view, how significant a problem is this inconsistency issue?
Well, in our view, the problem is very, very significant. We've done a number of reports that have had at least part of them to do with the inconsistency and the inaccuracy of the federal real property database. You know, in response to a recommendation we had a number of years ago, to its credit, the federal government did establish what's called the Federal Real Property Profile, which is a government-wide database. But as you can imagine, and I think as you alluded to in the introduction, there are agencies kind of doing their own thing in terms of how they count and to what extent they count and how they interpret some of the data elements within the Federal Real Property Profile. But there's even another layer to that, Jared. You know, one of the problems we see is that even some of the legacy agencies, such as, say, example, the Department of Interior, which has a number of bureaus under it, those bureaus themselves at one time are independent agencies, and they have their own data systems, and they count things their own way, and not all the systems are compatible with one another. So it's a rather multi-layered problem.
Is this problem, as far as you can tell, on OMB's radar and something they're trying to address?
Oh, yes. It's definitely on their radar. I think we've had a lot of conversations with people over at OMB, and they're very aware of the problem, and they're doing some things to try to improve it. One of the key issues that we've talked about with them for a couple of years is establishing a national strategy of how to deal with some of these real property issues. They've made a good start towards that, although we feel there's still some ways to go. But it's an ongoing dialogue that we have, and I think we've had some good results, but there's still, you know, quite a ways to go to get it to where we think it needs to be in order to have a harmonized real property system within the federal government.
Just to call out an example of the kind of issue that we're talking about, this came from your GAO colleague Keith Cunningham at a conference, I believe it was last week, quoting from Emily's story here, the Interior Department operates the Delta Mendota Canal in Central California. It's considered just one structure, even though it's 117 miles long. Then on the other side, you've got an FAA radio tower at Dulles Airport, which counts as six structures. is that kind of an example a crazy outlier, or do you see that kind of thing throughout the government?
Well, we did Keith was alluding to a report that we did a couple of years ago looking at federal structures, which are obviously different from buildings. But, yeah, we saw all sorts of anomalies with structures, and I think that example was a great one. But there either things like some agencies were counting trees as structures around airport runways. They were all over the map on these things, and so that made it very difficult to try to come to any kind of reasonable conclusion as to, you know, the value of these structures, what their use was, and just how you count them and how you account for them.
Is there a single federal matrix that could be used and could be applied by all these agencies to define structures in a consistent way, or do we still need to come up with something like that?
Well, what we discussed with the agencies and in the recommendations that we talked about in the report were what you have to really first analyze: what do you really need to count, and why do you need to count it? So we looked at agencies to try to take another look at some of these things, and why do you really need to count, every radar antenna that's around an airport runway or the lights that are, you know, at O'Hare Airport? Does that really make sense? And so I think what we're looking at to try to have an impact where, you know, they'll take a step back and look at this kind of more from a risk analysis perspective and see what do you really need to know and why do you need to know it.
What are some of the potential consequences that flow from just having an inaccurate picture of what the government actually owns? I mean, is it mostly just a matter of, having a lot of underutilized facilities out there?
Well, that's part of it. That's a good point that you make, Jared. But really, one of the key issues we look at, and of course, in the current environment, then everybody has to look at costs. And higher costs is definitely an important reason, you know, why the federal government needs to improve its real property data. You know, we see higher costs from a number of sources. You know, agencies may be spending money unnecessarily to lease a location when there's an underutilized site that the government owns that may be available. The government may not recognize that the building's in need of repair. You know, a building is like your house or a car. Small problems can become big problems if they're ignored, and there's a very large backlog of deferred maintenance in the federal government, and this can lead to you know, very difficult problems to repair later on. And finally, you know, there are costly problems. The government spends money operating and protecting buildings it doesn't need. You know, there are operations and maintenance costs. Even if a building isn't being used, it still needs to be cooled and heated and guarded, and all those things cost money. So we see tremendous cost issues that are involved with not really knowing what you have, what condition it's in, and you know exactly what you need to do with it.
That issue of potentially unnecessary leases is important, I think, and that's something that GAO's written about a lot in the past. Do we have an idea of what the scale of that is? I mean, is it so bad that if the federal government got a better idea of its actual inventory, it could consolidate into what it owns and get out of the leasing business altogether?
Well, I don't know about getting out of the leasing business altogether, because there are actually times when leasing makes more sense than owning. And given the current budgetary environment and the how buildings are accounted for, the cost for them, it's really almost impossible to imagine the government getting out of the leasing business. But I think what we're looking at is trying to consolidate, in the sense that if everybody kind of knows what each other has, there are much better opportunities to consolidate and maybe reduce the number of leases. Just a small example, in a mid-sized town that we visited once in Texas, we saw two small federal agencies. With one had very little space, the other had a lot of space, and yet the managers seemed unaware of what each other had, and they weren't all that far apart. But they don't. Nobody can get on the computer, press a button, and say, "Oh, this guy has, you know, 1,000 square feet that we could use," and you know that kind of thing. So, you know, we're looking at if. The foundation of much of real property issues has to do with accurate data. If people know exactly what they have and what condition it's in, and the financial implications of that could be enormous. And that's really what we've been making recommendations to try to get the federal agencies to work towards.
Let me finish up on a related issue. As you guys have reported, OMB has done a couple things. They told agencies to freeze their footprint back in 2012, and then they were supposed to start reducing their footprint. I think actually plans for that were due last month. To what extent has any of that been successful? Have agencies A, frozen, and B, done much to reduce?
Well, I think we've seen some moderate success there, but we did some work following these initiatives and found that to some degree they may have been overstated in some cases, but I believe that there's a strong management commitment at OMB to doing this, and now it's a question of you know, kind of putting the pedal to the metal to really make it work. And the OMB initial strategy that came out in March of 2015 is a good start towards that, but we think there's still some more attention that needs to be paid towards developing a more comprehensive strategy, and that's something that we're continuing to work with OMB on.
All right. David Wise, the Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at GAO. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it.